Good evening, everyone. It's good to see one and all tonight. And it's also good to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. Can we open, please, to 1 Samuel? 1 Samuel 27. It's about David and the Philistines. When I was in Queensland, when I was doing my deputation back in 1990, I spoke at a missionary conference, and each speaker at the conference was about four or five speakers. After they spoken about their work, the chairman asked for prayer for the work in that place. And so when I got up to speak afterwards, the chairman said, would one or two brothers please pray for the land of the Philistines? So he corrected himself, said the Philippines. But anyway, here in Samuel 27, David has spared King Saul's life in chapter 26, where he could have put Saul to death, but he would not lay his hand on the Lord's anointed, even though Saul was trying to have David killed. Now in chapter 27, David believing that Saul would yet seek to destroy him at a later time, he fled to Gath in the land of the Philistines. Achish was king of Gath at that time, and David had with him 600 of his men and their families, as well as David's two wives. You might remember that Gath was where Goliath had come from. Achish would well have known about David's problems with King Saul, and that King Saul was trying to catch up with David. Now David has come down to Achish in order to seek refuge. This is most likely the same Achish as in chapter 21, when David feigned madness before King Achish. Achish gave David Ziklag as a place of residence. According to Joshua chapter 19, Ziklag was an inheritance for Simeon, who were living in Judah. But it must have become Philistine territory once again. Now, Ziklag was David's home for 1 year and 4 months. Having a look at verse 8 and 9, and David and his men went up, invaded the Geshurites and the Jezerites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of the old inhabitants of the land, as thou goest ashore unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep, the oxen, and the asses, and the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. So it doesn't say so, but I assume that David gave gifts to King Achish after its raid. So he didn't give the full story to King Achish what he'd been doing. He'd say that he was doing something else. And Achish believed David, and he said, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him, therefore he will be my servant forever. So you go over to chapter 28, And so it appears that Achish was prepared to go to war against Israel, and he required David to be his personal bodyguard forever, as it says. In chapter 29, the Philistines mustered all their armies at Aphek, verse 1, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And Aphek was in Manasseh, just east of the Sea of Galilee. Israel's armies were gathered at Gilboa in the valley of Jezreel. So it's way over on the other side of Galilee. Now David and his men accompanied King Achish for the battle. You might ask, how was it that David was prepared to fight against his own people, the Israelites? I believe it was God testing David, but God had other plans for David. For you have a look in verse 3 to 5. And the princes of the Philistines were going crook, and they're saying, what are these Hebrews doing here? Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which have been with me these days for 3 years? Verse 2, sorry. And the lords of the Philistines passed over by hundreds and thousands, but David and his men pressed on reward with Achish. And so he says, and Achish said, is this not the servant of David who's been with his these days, these years, have found no fault in him until he fell to me this day? And but the princes of Philistines says, is this not David whom they sung one to another in dances, and saying, Saul killed his thousands and David's his 10,000s? So Achish, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And so the Philistine, the Achish called David to him and said, I can't see any fault in you. You've been a good servant to me all this time. But the lords of the Philistines won't have you go along with this, because they felt that he was going to turn against them in battle. And so the Philistines could have easily killed David and all his men, but because they were greatly outnumbered, but the Lord was protecting them. Go down to verse 11. So David returned to Ziklag, and the Philistines marched on Jezreel. We learn later on in chapter 31 that that was when King Saul and his sons and all the armies of Israel were killed, died in battle. And in chapter 30, now it came to pass when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, so it's a three-day march down from the Lake of Galilee, and they found that that Ziklag had been burnt to the ground, and their wives, sons, and daughters were carried away captive by the Amalekites. And as we read there in verse 1 and 2. And so and it says that none of the women or children were killed. There have been times when God's people have been persecuted from time to time, like the Reformation. Paul Bunyan and many others are also burned at the stake. believers during in the Middle East at the present time. Ken Elliott has disappeared in Mali. So we have no guarantee that we'll never be harmed by the enemies of the gospel. But God said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, "My grace is sufficient for you." So no matter what situation Christians find themselves in when they're opposition by the devil, God is there in the situation. The Amalekites have carried the people away and heading south. The Amalekites had harassed the Israelites as they journeyed from Egypt back in Exodus. Some believe that these Amalekites were the descendants of Amalek, who was the son of Esau. But there are also other possibilities as well. Saul was sent to destroy the Amalekites, which he did. But he spared King Agag and spared the livestock. Therefore, Saul was rejected as king of Israel. So that's a bit about the Amalekites. But as for David at Ziklag, everyone was in great distress that their families had been taken captive. And the men talked about stoning David because of their grief. Verse 6. Every man and his sons and daughters, but David encouraged himself in his God. There was a situation that Flora and I faced in the Philippines back in around about 1991, and there was a time when the men of the assembly was about seven or eight of the men, it's almost all of them, and they took 2.25 hours to dress me down as to the things that Flora and I had been doing wrong in the assembly. And it was true, there was a couple of things we'd done wrong, I'd done wrong. But most of it was a little tiny thing, and they made it a mountain out of it. And so after 2.25 hours, I went home. We'd at someone else's place. And when I got home, Flo said, "What happened?" And I opened my mouth and no words had come out. I just couldn't talk. And I was so upset, all I wanted to do was pack up and come home to Australia. But I remembered about David as Ziklag. David encouraged himself in God. And so it took me 2 days to track down all these men, one after the other. I talked to them and said, "Well, it's true, there's a couple of things that were done wrong, but most of it is of no consequence." There was a situation where one of the ladies, apparently, she said to her husband that Flora hadn't talked to her for 3 or 4 weeks. And so Flora and I went to see this lady, and Flora said to her, "If I don't talk to you, you come and talk to me." But the thing about it, that this had been going on for 8 months, that all these things had been building up. And week after week, we'd come together, break bread, take the Lord's Supper, and shake hands. "How are you going?" "Fine, fine, everything's good." And everyone go home happy. And there's no thing, nothing said about anything wrong at all. And so they were taking the Lord's Supper without considering their own hearts. And so eventually things sorted out. But it was a situation where I was ready to pack up and come home. But I remembered David. David encouraged himself in the Lord. So we can see here a contrast between David and Saul. Also, there was a contrast between David and his men. David called, verse 7, David called on Abiathar to bring, he was the priest, bring the ephod, and he inquired to the Lord. Verse 8, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David and his 600 men with him, they took off and came to the brook Besor, and chased after the Amalekites. But as for inquiring of the Lord, sometimes Christians rush into action without praying about it first of all. Or sometimes people get into action without asking, without waiting for God's answer of prayer. So there in, when he gets to the brook, there's 200 of the men were so faint they could not go over, couldn't continue on. And so they stayed behind at the brook. You remember that they just had a three-day march from up north, the Sea of Galilee, and so they had to stop for rest or to regain their strength. We have the same situation today sometimes, where the beloved and God's people, sometimes you get some who need to move, set aside for one reason or other. They become weary in Christian activities for one reason or another. These ones need care and encourage them to get back into active service. Otherwise, they become dropouts from Christian work. But if we show our love to one another, then they can be encouraged to continue on. Anyway, David's men found an Egyptian in the field, and it had been left there by his Amalekite master because he was sick, verses 11 to 15, and he had not eaten water or had anything to eat for 3 days. The men took care of him. They gave him a piece of cake and figs, 2 clusters of raisins and some bread to eat, and gave him water. And we think of people we meet in our daily walk, perhaps as workmates or neighbours or someone, relatives, and who are not believers, and they need our love and attention. And who knows, it could be because of that love and attention that they'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved because of a bit of attention. Anyway, he promised to guide them down to the Amalekites' campsite if they didn't kill him or return him to his master. And so he must have known where they were they planned to go. And he said that the Amalekites had invaded the land of the southern end of Judah and the Philistines, and they finally burned Ziklag with fire. Now, when David caught up with the Amalekites, they were drinking, dancing, and eating. They had felt at ease without a worry in the world. They didn't know that destruction was about to befall them. You just have a look at 1 Thessalonians. We had that this morning actually, but just to read it again. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 3. But the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord. It so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So these Amalekites had no idea that they were about to be annihilated. And otherwise they would have been ready. They would have had their sentries out. You have a look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and it says there, it is appointed unto men once to die, but then comes the judgment. So those Amalekites had no idea that judgment was about to befall them. David fought the Amalekites for a whole 24 hours, or if not more, and recovered all the captives. And where is it now? Verse 17, and David smote them from twilight even unto the evening of the next day. So that's 24 hours or more. And so David was able to recover everything that was lost, including his wives, and also much loot that the Amalekites had taken from Judah and Philistia. Now when they returned to the brook Besor, they found those who had been too weak to follow David, and there was, verse 21, and David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they'd made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial, of those who went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. This men of Belial, you have a look at commentaries, it turns out that they're lawless men, wicked men. And I've got no doubt that these ones are probably the ones that stirred up the men and back earlier on and said, stone David. So they're probably the same ones again, putting forth their agenda. So David said, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered us, the company that come against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as for his part that goeth down to battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And so we have in the assembly, no matter what chore or part that we have in assembly, whether it's speaking, teaching, whether it's on the deacons, the oversight, in the kitchen on a Sunday morning tea, whether it's cleaning the place during the week. Each and every person is an integral part of the assembly. Each and every one has an important part to play in the running of the assembly, encouraging one another in the assembly, and be a testimony to one another, and indeed to anyone that comes in to visit. They'll know that you have a look at what is the Lord says in John. They will know you by your love, one for another. As I have loved you, so love one another. And so we see here that that David was a man after God's own heart. And so if you read into 2 Samuel, you'll see that David was made king of Judah, first of all, and then later on, king over all Israel. David had a lot of ups and downs in becoming king, but he remained faithful to the Lord. So I just wonder what will be said about me, or what will be said about any of us in a later day. We started out well, but did we finish well? Were we faithful to the end? What is our life right now? The thing that God requires of each of us is to put God first in all that we do. Matthew 5 and 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And again, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So the Lord Jesus suffered terribly at the hands of unbelievers. And so is the case we in this world at this present time. As we go into the next couple of weeks, where they have this debate going on in Parliament, and we don't know what will be the outcome in the months coming after. And this could be very well the trigger that turn many against Christians at this present time, I feel. And it could be a telltale as to the way that churches around Australia will react, will they be faithful to the Lord, will they turn away, as we know that many churches in different places have gone liberal for one reason or other, and I feel that should it go the bad way, that'll be a big turning point at this present time. So may I encourage each one as we seek the next few months that we'll be more and more dedicated to one another and to the principles that God has set down in his holy scriptures. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the word of God which has been recorded for our benefit, that we should understand your loving kindness and goodness, that you have provided the way of escape for everyone who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray that you would work greatly in the lives of each and every brother and sister here at Wilson, and pray that one and all be encouraged more and more as we see that day approaching when we're taken into glory, into ever in the presence of our God. We're grateful too for the opportunity to meet together thus here at Wilson. At this present time, we do not know what the future might behold, but we know that you hold the future. So we trust all things unto you. We do commit in your care and keeping, especially those who are unwell and particular needs at this present time here at Wilson. We do pray too for your help as we travel to our homes later on. Pray for travelling mercies. We thank you for your loving kindness and goodness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.